Well, good morning, everyone. It is really a great privilege for me to be here with you this morning. My wife and I, my whole family, wanted to thank you for all the generosity that you've already shown us in our time in Indianapolis, even in this first week. And we're just really glad for all of the things that you've done for us to welcome us and to make us at home here. And you'll have to ask David and Ruth Hansen if they still are playing this game, but apparently they have a game they play called Who Got the Better Deal When We Got Married? And if we were to play a different sort of game, Who Got the Better Deal When Southside RPC Hired an Intern, I would be so far ahead already that you wouldn't be even able to catch up. So we're really very thankful to be here. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This summer, my plan is to preach through this chapter in its entirety. And this chapter forms a discourse, a complete discourse of Jesus. And he touches on various different themes. But if we were to give an overarching theme to the whole chapter, it might be something like living your life in light of unseen realities. And as we live our day-to-day lives, it's easy for us to think that what we see and what we hear, the things that we experience day-to-day, then that is all that there is to life. That there's nothing more than that. But as believers, we know that this isn't true. That behind the normal course of this world, behind what we experience from day to day, there are unseen things. There is God in all his glory and majesty. He is sovereignly directing all things according to his will. Our earthly life is not all there is. There is a life to come. And history is not just a random collection of chance events, but it is going somewhere. There is a progress and a purpose to it. Well, and these unseen things that we don't experience, we don't see directly, these are meant to deeply influence how we are to live our lives. And as we consider this chapter over the summer, Jesus is going to challenge us to really consider how we are living our lives in light of these unseen things. Realities. So that is where we're going this summer. This morning we're going to start with a few verses from Luke chapter 12. I'm going to start reading from Luke 11, actually verse 37, and read through 12, verse 3. But before we read together, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that it is through your word that you give us life and you open our eyes and you give us your truth and your grace. Lord, your word divides the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so, Lord, as we come now to your word, please work in our hearts and change us and help us to see and give us new life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, "Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also." And he said, "Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve of the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you built their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished before the altar in the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered.' And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, 'First of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing that will not, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops.'" Well, this past Tuesday, several of us gathered at the church, and we went out into the community to invite people to worship. And I don't think we ran into anyone like this on Tuesday, but if you've invited people to worship before, you know that one of the objections that you will often face is that, "Oh, I couldn't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites." And if you've faced that objection many times before, you know that an appropriate response to that kind of objection is that the church is not for those who are well, but they're for the church is for the sick. We are all sinners. We all sin in different ways. One of the ways that we sin is by our hypocrisy, and we go to church to get help for our sin, even for our hypocrisy. And that would be a good and a reasonable and appropriate answer to that objection. But I think every once in a while, we need to pause a little and think more deeply about this objection, to consider, to do some self-examination of ourselves. Is the church full of hypocrites? And if the church is full of hypocrites, is that really a good and healthy thing? Well, as we have already read in this passage, Jesus tells us that hypocrisy is not a good thing for the church. It is not something we want present in our congregation. Rather, we need to beware. Beware of hypocrisy. Why? Why is it that we need to beware of hypocrisy? Well, first of all, you need to beware of hypocrisy because hypocrisy will keep you from Jesus. Hypocrisy will keep you from Jesus. And to see this, we first need to understand what hypocrisy is. Well, this word hypocrisy, the Greek word comes to us, comes right into the English, and the word means pretending or play acting. A hypocrite pretends to be one thing, but is really something else. Instead of having an integrity and a unity between actions and motivations, between public and private parts of a person's life, hypocrisy is based on discontinuity. And there are a couple different kinds of discontinuity we can think about that can lead to hypocrisy. And we can actually see this illustrated in the lives of the Pharisees. First of all, there can be a discontinuity between our outer person and our inner person, outer and inner. We are hypocrites when we do religious things on the outside for reasons other than devotion and love toward God. And in chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, Jesus talks about this. He says, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make also the inside?" When we come to worship, we sing, not because we want to please the Lord, but because we simply like the sound of the music, or because we want other people to think we have a wonderful voice, or maybe we pray for things, not because we really want God to give us what we pray for, but because we want people to think that we were so godly to think of praying for such a thing, then we're exhibiting this kind of discontinuity in our hearts and our lives. Well, another kind of discontinuity is a discontinuity between our words and our actions. When we tell people to do something, or if we express with our words that we value something, but we don't do it ourselves, we don't actually practice it in our lives, then we are being a hypocrite. And this type of hypocrisy is so common in our culture that we even have a phrase that we use to introduce it. Do as I say, not as I do. And maybe the objection that we sometimes run into about inviting people to church can come from this type of discontinuity. Christians, the Bible teaches us that we ought to be loving and kind and compassionate and generous, and I've been to church, and I'm not sure if I've really experienced people being kind and loving and generous to me. And we can have that kind of discontinuity in our lives. Well, a third type is a discontinuity between our public lives and our private lives. We are hypocrites when we act a certain way in public, but a different way in private, or a certain way before one group of people and a different way before another group of people. And this is implied at the end of chapter 12 and verse 3. Jesus is saying that what is spoken in the dark will one day be heard in the light, and what is spoken in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And unfortunately, the news is often full of Christian leaders who have caused a scandal because they have had this type of discontinuity in their lives. How they have acted privately has not matched how they have behaved publicly. On the outside, Pharisees looked really good. Outwardly, they conformed to the law, to the letter, but on the inside, they did not care about God or his people. What they were really seeking was not the praise and the approval of God, but the praise and approval of men. They had no humility, no contrition, no neediness. And in their lives, in the lives of the Pharisees, this hypocrisy repelled them from Jesus. And we can see this at the end of chapter 11. Jesus rebukes them for their hypocrisy. And in verse 53 and 54, we see them beginning to think about how they can assail him, how they can cross-examine him, how they can accuse him and catch him. And this really contrasts from verse 1 of chapter 12, where we have people flocking to be with Jesus. So many people that they were trampling each other. And on the other hand, the Pharisees are staying away from him. They're seeking to be against him. And this is consistent with what we read about the Pharisees other places. In John chapter 5, 39 and 40, Jesus says to them, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Jesus is repulsive to hypocrisy in every way. The righteousness of Jesus, the righteousness of his character, is far more righteous than the most righteous hypocrite. Jesus' teaching shows that outward conformity to God's law is not enough, but our hearts need to be engaged as well. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. Outwardly committing adultery is not the only thing that we need to do to keep the seventh commandment, but even looking at a woman lustfully in your heart breaks that command. And Jesus' cross demonstrates that sin is shameful not before the eyes of people, but before the eyes of God. The forgiveness that Jesus purchased can only be obtained through confession and repentance. And these are things that hypocrites will not have anything to do with. And because hypocrisy keeps you from Jesus, hypocrisy cuts you off from having any power in your Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul calls this having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And so let me ask you this morning, is hypocrisy keeping you from Jesus? If we have discontinuities in our lives, whether they are inner or outer man discontinuities, word or action discontinuities, or public and private, these, if they are not dealt with, will not draw us closer to our Savior. They will not lead to strength and grace in our lives, but they will, in fact, move us further and further away from Him. Beware of hypocrisy, because hypocrisy will keep us from Jesus. Well, secondly, beware of hypocrisy, because hypocrisy spreads. A friend of mine in college, he was studying civil engineering, and one of his professors gave him the three fundamental principles of civil engineering. And I'm not a civil engineer. I don't know if these are actually the real three fundamental principles of civil engineering. You'll have to ask one of the engineers in the congregation if they can verify this. But here they are. You can't push on a rope. Water plus mud makes more mud. And wet concrete attracts people. And we kind of like these simple, pithy principles, right? And they show up in other parts of our lives. Haste makes waste, or a stitch in time saves nine. Well, Jesus is giving us a different sort of principle that my guess is you haven't really thought about before. Hypocrisy spreads. And how do we get hypocrisy spreads from this passage? Well, at the end of verse 1 of chapter 12, Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." In Jesus' day, you couldn't go to the freezer and open up a package of yeast and dump it into your bread machine and in a few hours have a loaf of bread. The yeast didn't come in that form. In order to leaven your bread, you had to take a small piece of yeasty dough from a previous batch of bread, and you mixed it in with the new ingredients, and that the yeast and that little piece of dough would slowly spread throughout the whole new lump of dough until the whole new lump would rise. And the qualities of this little starter dough then spread so that the whole lump of dough had those same qualities, and the whole lump began to rise. And when Jesus calls the hypocrisy of the Pharisees leaven, he is accessing this imagery of spreading. Jesus does this in other places too, speaking about the kingdom and the spread of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 13, verse 21, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." Well, why is it that hypocrisy spreads? Hypocrisy spreads because it offers easy results. It is much easier to get dressed up in nice clothes and to come to church than it is to humble your heart before God. Hypocrisy also spreads because the more your heart strays from God, the more problems in your life you will have to cover up. And it will always seem that continuing on in hypocrisy will be easier than returning to God. Well, hypocrisy also spreads, especially between people, because God has made us in such a way that we influence the people around us. The things we say, the things we don't say, the things we talk about, the things we don't talk about, the things we do, the things we don't do, these things transfer our values to the people around us. If I have a small view of God, and a big and a high view of other people, that's going to show up in my life. And I'm going to begin to encourage you to adopt a small view of God as well. If I live like the most valuable character qualities of a person are outward and external, if you want me to like you, you are likely going to adopt that value system. And if I only know how to deal with sin by ignoring it, then I'm not going to admit my sin to you. And if I don't ever admit my sin to you, will you ever admit your sin to me? A culture of hypocrisy has no way of dealing with sin. So if you sin, your only option is to join in the hypocrisy. And the greater our positions of leadership, the greater our influence. And Jesus is particularly addressing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees because they, as religious leaders, had a special and a greater influence over the people. And so if you are a leader or a teacher in any capacity in this congregation, this is an especially serious warning to you. Hypocrisy in your life is going to influence the people that you lead and teach. But all of us are influential in our own ways. Don't think that you can come and worship here and be part of this congregation and not have an influence on those around you. Your hypocrisy or your sincerity will have consequences. And so my question for you this morning is this: what are you spreading in this church? We need to beware of hypocrisy because hypocrisy spreads. Well, hypocrisy keeps us from Jesus. Hypocrisy spreads. But thirdly, we need to beware of hypocrisy because hypocrisy is ultimately futile. It's ultimately futile. Hypocrisy is based on the ability to hide. Unless you can maintain discontinuities in your life, unless you can keep these things apart and separate, then it will fail. Apparently in 1995, Fox ran a series of 4 TV shows called Breaking the Magician's Code. And in these shows, the host would take the viewers backstage and reveal how some of the greatest magic tricks are accomplished. And you can imagine that this show was very popular. Wouldn't you like to find out how to cut a person in half? But there was a particular group of people that were not very excited about this show. It actually sparked great controversy in that particular group of people, and there were a number of lawsuits that came to pass. Do you know which group of people this is? Well, it was the other magicians. Because illusions and magic tricks, they only have entertainment value if you can reveal from the people that you are performing these things to, if you can reveal how they're actually accomplished. And by this show, the host was destroying all of the entertainment value of these other magicians. Well, in a similar way, Jesus is saying here in our text that this ability to hide is going away. Look at verse 2. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. One day, on the day of judgment, everything that you have thought or said or done, whether in public or in private, will be revealed. The intentions of your heart, the reasons for your actions, your motives, things that no one else knows about you, these things will come into the light. And hypocrisy promises to cover up shameful things. It promises to shortcut a status in the church, shortcut to status in the church without the need for real heart change. But ultimately, it will not deliver. And if there are parts of your life that you are ashamed of now, how much more will it be shameful when they are revealed on the day of judgment? On that day, all that you have ever gained from the discontinuities in your life will disappear. And if on that day, on the day of judgment, all of these things will be revealed, then someone knows them now. Hebrews 4:13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Do you realize that God sees everything in your life? Do you understand that it's really his sight and his judgments that matter? Beware of hypocrisy, because ultimately hypocrisy is futile. Well, hypocrisy is not something we want in our church. And perhaps you're sitting here and you're beginning to see this. Maybe you can see how hypocrisy has had a place in your heart and has spread in your heart and maybe even has influenced other people. And you're beginning to see that God sees all of this. Well, what is the antidote to hypocrisy? How can we respond to hypocrisy around us and in our own lives? Well, and this brings us finally to the last point, beware of hypocrisy by walking in the light. By walking in the light. The first part of verse 3 says, "Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light." And if we think about the things that we have said in the dark being revealed in the light on the day of judgment, it is devastating. And it will be devastating. If your secret sins do not come to light until the day of judgment, they will result in shame and dishonor and terror. But what is so beautiful about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is that if you bring your hypocrisy or your insincerity or your sins to light now, if you bring it to God by confessing and repenting of these things, by accepting by faith his sacrifice on your behalf, if you draw near by faith to the light of the world, to Jesus, instead of shame and dishonor, you will find mercy and forgiveness. And this is not just the way to become a Christian. The Christian life is really meant to live. We're really meant to live the Christian life in a continual repentance and turning to Jesus. And as we live this way, instead of having a form of godliness without power, we will find the power of the resurrection of Christ working in us to produce true godliness and true character. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message which we have heard and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And we beware of hypocrisy by walking in the light, by not hiding our sins, but by bringing them to Christ. And as you bring your secret things to the light of Christ, you can walk in the light by consciously living your life before the face of God. And this is where our passage ties into the theme of Luke chapter 12. If we live our lives as if people are the most important, then hypocrisy is going to look attractive. But if we live according to the unseen things, if we live in light of the God who sees everything, whose judgments really matter, the spreading evil of hypocrisy will flee from us. And instead of spreading hypocrisy, we will spread faith and sincerity and hope. Well, is the church really full of hypocrites? Well, if it is, this is not a good thing. As individuals and as a church, we need to beware of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy will keep you from Jesus. Hypocrisy will spread. And hypocrisy ultimately is futile. In a certain town, there were two men. One of the men was a religious man. He went to church regularly. He gave generously to the work of the church. He gave to the poor. He was invited to all the most important meetings and gatherings, and he even fasted twice a week. People treated him with honor and with respect. The other man was a tax collector. Nobody liked him much. He hadn't lived a very moral life. He never went to church. He was never invited to important religious meetings. And one day, both men went to the temple to pray. And the religious man prayed like this: God, thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the other man, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are the God who sees all things. You see everything about our lives, and you know our hearts. And Lord, we know that you desire sincerity in our hearts, and we just ask that you would help us to turn to you and to keep turning to you in confession and repentance with the sins in our lives. Help us to walk before your face and not before the eyes of other people. Lord, would what we spread and around us in this congregation be sincerity and faith and hope. And we pray that you would do these things for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.